What's going on, everybody? Welcome to our downtown studios. This is another edition of Five Rounds today. I'm John Ramdean. He's Robin Black. And we're going to focus on the UFC because there has been a ton of UFC events happening. Seems like every single weekend.
Don't we
now.
Always focus on the UFC?
I guess we do kind of always focus
like,
on the UFC.
Is that what we're doing here?
I think the goal, though, was to kind of tackle everything that's going on in the mixed martial arts world, because if Bellator had a big show, you know, we know recently they signed Chael Sonnen, they signed Rory McDonald, they signed Ben Henderson.
But the UFC does 90% of the stuff.
And that's the issue, because we're such a fan of mixed martial arts. You and I were just asked to call TKO, the return of TKO, on UFC Fight Pass, and here in Canada on FN. So we get to do that stuff. Chase, who's running the board, he helped us do KSW. Yeah. We were a big fan of KSW. Yeah. We were hoping to bring all of that to the masses. But when the big show, being the UFC, and I think most people here in our offices recognize that it needs the most attention, especially when we're broadcast partners of the UFC. And again, it garners the majority of interest from mixed martial arts fans or casual fans. And I think that's why I say we're, you know, we want to cover the other stuff, but it just happens to be that the UFC deserves the primary focus. Because look at the main event, Cyborg, this Saturday. Yeah.
There is other football other than the NFL.
Yeah.
There's other baseball other than Major League Baseball. Right. But when you cover baseball, you cover Major League Baseball. In Japan, there's some massive baseball leagues.
Yeah.
Apparently. I'm already overstepping my knowledge of other sports. But, you know, but what do you cover? You cover Major League Baseball and the World.
Again, in Japan, do they? Cover the majors there? Or is there Major League? It's like, well, we've seen a lot of Japanese athletes come to MLB, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and in Poland.
In Poland, yeah.
When people go into buy MMA gloves, they go, I want to fight KSW.
Yeah.
They don't say, I want to
train UFC.
I want to train TRANE UFC. They want to train KSW. They want to learn to fight KSW. So there are still other pockets in the world. And, I mean, we don't know what the reach is in a lot of these Asian countries. I mean, it's very hard to tell. The UFC is the big brand. They have a lot of the main talent. And when you think of talent, it's not just the fighters. They got the marketing talent. They have the guys who make the animated stuff. They have the guys who cut the video. If you are that company, you find the best people you can find and you hire them. So it's interesting. You know, one FC or one championship, we air it here. It's for sure big in some of these countries, but how big? We don't know. It'd be interesting to find out.
Well, you'd say some of the countries, Malaysia and Indonesia, with those two countries, you're talking about 300 or 400 million people.
Yeah, I know.
So, if you're a fan of fighting or combat sports or you've never been exposed to it before, I know a lot of people that I've exposed mixed martial arts to before. They're like, yeah, I'm just not really a sports guy. I'm like, well, it's not really.
I'm not a sports guy.
Yeah.
Are you a sports guy?
I am a sports guy. But
not a lot.
Yeah. Now with MMA, like, I just don't have time because, you know, this is what we have to do. But there are people that I've introduced MMA to that it becomes their thing. Mm-hmm. That it's like, wow, this is completely different than any other sport. And if you're in Malaysia or Indonesia and you're not getting the UFC, you don't know where to go, and you turn on TV and it's some Malaysian or, you know, somebody that looks like you fighting, it's like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
They have a big show. Matt Hume knows what the fuck he's doing.
That's for sure.
So because of that, you can see how people would be attracted. And it's, once the ball starts rolling, it starts building and building and building. And next thing you know, you're putting 16,000 people in these venues.
It's true. It's very true. What's interesting to me, so, you know, we are a UFC broadcast partner.
We're basically the home of MMA and combat sports in
Canada.
General.
Yeah. In Canada we are, and we get to go to other countries and make stuff for the internet and stuff. But it's even before we were UFC broadcast partners, actually in the old days we didn't even have credentials.
Have anything, I've been booted out of so many. I was kicked out of an open workout. George St. Pierre and BJ Penn were in town and I was escorted out.
People don't realize that about Fight Network if they've been watching, you know, if they watch our stuff and they have seen it for 2 or 3 years. There was a time when we were not even allowed in those places.
Pariahs,
we didn't have any footage.
We were hated.
That's really wild. And I'm really it's a really legit thing that we've grown this thing to that size, and now we're a UFC broadcast partner.
I think one of the reasons why is because we're not out to get anybody. What we're here to talk to are the viewers, because we're like-minded people.
Yeah.
We're the viewers. So the stuff when we try to put together, you know, features or stuff for the preview show or this show, and try to talk to the viewers, is because I want to get the goods.
Yeah.
So you're trying to deliver the best, because when I go home, my channel's on Fight Network.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're speaking to the right people and we're getting things from the right source, and I think we are.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, when I watch anything or I go and I consume anything, on some level, I want to be spoken to truthfully and honestly. Yeah. I want somebody to talk to me like I'm an intelligent person, and I want to know what they're about. And that's what we just try to do. It's like, and you know, it's interesting. Pollock is fairly close with Ariel Helwani, and Helwani said to Pollock, he's like, I can't believe some of the things you guys say.
Yeah, I know.
Like, really?
Yeah.
But what we do is try to literally remove these kind of fake structures. You know, we don't have to talk around. We don't have to pretend that we think the rankings are real.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to pretend, you know. But that was a really nice compliment that, you know, wow, I can't believe what you got. It's like, you know, we just try to
tell the truth
yeah. at all as much as possible.
And you have to always have a balanced art. There has to be balance. You have to be able to see both sides of everything, because sometimes, you know, the UFC does something and this fan base, they get pissed
yeah.
off because of whatever move, and we just don't know the facts. So yes, you see this big corporate entity, and as the little guy, you want to go after them, but you're supposed to be able to present two sides of the argument, if possible.
But you know, there is no bad now. It's amazing, but my wife watches. Actually, she doesn't much. Every now and again, see, when you watch TV, do you have a second? You know, like when my wife and I are watching TV, what are we watching? Okay, we're watching this home renovation show.
Yeah.
Well, what's our second? Meaning when
there's
a commercial.
I don't even watch TV like that anymore.
Yeah, I know. And you're on
Netflix. You know what I mean?
Other things.
And when I just scroll through for 40 minutes going, what am I going to watch?
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right? But our second was Dancing with the Stars the other night.
Okay.
And this, you know, this goon.
You're going to get hate
Ryan Lochte. Hey, man, it was the second. I do not control the TV. I'm trying to be a reasonable.
You know, again, you're going to get hate for that, too.
Well, that's too bad.
I'm also going
on vacation next week to Vegas. That was her pick.
Yeah.
I get to do what I do and love to do like 10, 12 hours a day all the time. If I don't give her I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Because 6 days a week, sometimes seven, I'm doing that thing I love doing.
Yeah,
so, anyways,
something's got to give.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars, this Ryan Lochte.
Is that the swimmer dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an idiot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect to an Olympic silver medalist forever or whatever. So when he was dancing, you probably don't even know this.
I have no clue.
He's going and doing this thing, and there's protesters. Yeah. They come out. And first of all, you could protest racism, income inequality, all kinds
so
of
they're
actual
they're
important
protesting
things.
That this guy's on the show?
Yeah.
Because
I don't care what reason you've got why you're going to do that.
You're a loser and you need to get a life?
People are people own
are
people. People
killed.
Are getting killed. And you're going to protest that? I'm sorry. Direct that somewhere. Anyways, so they go out there. And
I'd like to see the background. Where these people come from?
I don't know, man. And so they get taken down, right? Security takes the guy down. So now, 5 years ago, that would have been a horrific event for Dancing with the Stars. Now
people are talking about it.
The next week, they put him on last. So we just saw the flashback the week before. I had no awareness of this. I'll know if Chael Sonnen says something crazy, but I don't have any awareness of this. So. But it's big enough that it cuts through the noise to most people. So it's on, and then they keep going. And when we come back, footage you still haven't seen from the protesters. You know what I mean? Like, this is good. Protesting. People freaking out. People going crazy. Oh, my God, the UFC did something bad. Oh, I can't believe what Chael Sonnen did. People now want that.
Okay, I love
it. They seek that.
Now this is a question, because there's something in the news right now that the UFC could exploit if they really, really wanted to. Cyborg still has 25 pounds to cut before Saturday main event. Is she going to make it there? Shows her dying in the sauna suit.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's an angle that the UFC would ever go down?
Yeah.
They would.
Everybody will.
Yeah.
And some of these you don't even have to choose to go down. You put out stuff.
Let them do it.
And it happens. happens.
Yeah.
People don't respond, okay, the two best fighters in the world, two of the great fighters who don't say anything, are going to fight next Saturday. I don't care. One of them did something bad. Yeah. Oh, my God.
One of them hates the other.
Yeah, one of them hates the other. Called him a dork. You know, and the world will freak out. This isn't, doesn't even have to be controlled. And in many ways, it can't be controlled. Engagement is created when people passionately get attached to something. That's what you want.
But the problem is that you can manufacture things. It's like this reality TV, for example, this Dancing with the Stars. Well, nobody says they're actual protesters. The studio could have said, you know what? We're going to hire some protesters to say that we don't want this guy on the show and have security wrestle him down. Nobody says we can't do that.
It's your show.
It's your show.
Yeah. Hey, and this, you make a great point that brings us back to what we were talking about, Chael Sonnen and Bellator and freak show fights and all these other things. There's a point at which it works, and then there's a point at which we can feel inauthenticity. Mm-hmm. Somehow the audience just kind of feels it. And when we see a guy, something about Ronda Rousey's arrogance was authentic. It made you hate her when not me, but it made people hate her when she finally lost. Or Conor McGregor, there's an authenticity. You talk to anyone who's known him, that's Conor. That's how he's always been.
It's like Josh Koscheck.
Exactly. Josh Koscheck is Josh Koscheck. But when you see people come out, and now Sam Alvey is a character and he's funny, but he had some rehearsed thing the other day.
Sure.
Somehow you could feel that wasn't quite, and I love Sam Alvey, and I hope that whatever his approach is works.
It works, yeah.
Works. But we can feel it. And that is something that has always drawn me to martial arts, is the fighting itself is real. And it's true. And if you can't handle a guy's punch, you fall down. And if the stress gets to you, you fail tonight. And that's sad. Or if you are not bigger, better than him, if you can't move quicker than him, you'll lose. Poirier and Michael Johnson can both be wanting it, and one of them's going to win. There's a truth to fighting. And some of this other stuff that we tangle up in it, and I mean, Chael Sonnen, that, one, he's my friend, but two, he's so entertaining. But that is separate from fighting. They're not part of the same thing.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss everything that's going down in Brazil. It's a fight card headlined by Chris Cyborg, but there are a ton of fights you need to see if you're a fight fan when Five Rounds Today continues. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ram Dean and Black with you. Coming up on Saturday, Brazil will play host to UFC Fight Night. Lena Landsberg making her UFC debut as she takes on the always dangerous, arguably the most dominant woman in mixed martial arts, in Chris Justino, who's having a difficult time, it seems, right now, making the weight. For years and years, we've heard the name. George Lockhart. This is the guy.
He's the guy. He's the man.
How important is it, because that's who Cyborg's working with right now, and apparently there's still 20-some-odd pounds that she needs to cut before
Monday, before the
Friday weigh-ins. There was some controversy with
birth control
pills. She says that she took them, and now she's retaining water. He has evidence to suggest otherwise.
He has evidence to suggest otherwise, saying he doesn't agree with?
With her. Yeah, he laid out a bunch of evidence to say that you actually do lose weight when you take these pills. So,
because he's the man.
Yeah, he does research. So
we live in a world often where people just don't understand what expertise really is.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, if you eat salad, this guy's an expert.
And I'm not pretending to be an expert.
No. I will sometimes overstep that bounds because I've cut weight and I have a small amount of knowledge about it. I'll overstep those bounds sometimes. And it's good to recognize that. You should recognize when you are doing that. But one thing I can tell you is he knows.
Yeah.
So I will not argue with an expert.
One of the reasons why I would never argue is because I need proof from multiple sources. And I've had proof from independent multiple sources that have achieved greatness at the highest level. So it's like, okay, all these parties, they believe in him. I'm going to believe that he's doing the right thing.
I was just
going to
say, I don't need multiple sources when I have him. But then I see what you mean is that not just you believe in his expertise, but you have seen many others who successfully.
And they talk to me about it. And it's like, yeah, this is the guy. This guy's Lockhart's the guy. Lockhart's the guy. It's like, okay, maybe he's the guy.
Yeah. Whether it's Eamon and Faraz or any number of them.
Exactly.
So it's interesting because I just said I would never undermine an expert. I had somewhat of a disagreement with him, but we weren't having the same conversation.
Right.
And it wasn't back to each other. It was through some other person through conversation. But and this goes back to Cyborg said, oh, I could never make 135 or I couldn't get pregnant and I would be sick and I would be ill.
Right.
And my point was you can make weight.
Yeah.
You would lose muscle and a person can do that if just as an absolute. I can't do it. I'll die.
Yeah,
I'll get sick. That's not true.
Yeah. But the counter argument is I want to be able to be exactly what I am.
Yeah.
I can't get down to 135 pounds.
No chance.
And that's what it is.
Absolutely
it just comes
no
down
chance.
To the
And that was
the
exactly the half conversations that we were having. When she was like, I cannot possibly humanly successfully achieve this weight, that's not true. But his discussion wasn't the same discussion
as me. Yeah,
he was
right.
saying, well, yeah, I mean, people can lose whatever weight. If she was doing a movie for $5 million, we'd get her down to that weight. But we want her to be high-performing and the highest performing and maintain all of her attributes. And no, you can't get down to 135. But if it's an issue of, I'll pay you $5 million to fight Ronda Rousey, well, I can't physically do it. You could do it. You can't do it and be who you are now.
Yeah.
But he's the man. It's interesting. I actually haven't picked up on exactly that. I saw that there was a lot of weight to come off. But for him to have the conversation with her in public. She's like, I'm retaining weight because of birth control. And he's going, no, you're not.
Yeah.
That's interesting to have in public. It's also modern. It sounds like there's a conflict between them, but that's what people want to see.
But
now,
my question is, maybe it's a bigger dialogue because it's like, okay, do these things and you're going to cut the weight. Oh, I just take these pills and I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do things exactly the way I was doing them before.
Take birth control pills.
And again, I'm not an expert. So does Lockhart say, actually, in addition to doing this, you have to do all these
100.
And make sure you don't do these things? Does he have to break it down step by step by step on all the things you have to do and all the things you must make sure you do not do to ensure that this weight cut goes the way that I've envisioned it in my head?
Yes, and more. And
I
haven't heard this from him or from any other person in this area, I have heard this sort of idea from a coach, and it's not meant from a coach or somebody who helps a fighter or an athlete. It's not meant in an insulting way. It's meant just for your own. But assume your athlete's an idiot.
Yeah.
Assume your athlete will do all the wrong things. And he does that. And Eamon is our example, and his team, Louis.
Yeah.
We talked to those guys about George step by step. They had the exact thing to drink at the exact time. And what you must follow him step by step because he's the expert. And if you say to yourself, oh, God, I was doing what he said, but I really wanted a couple of gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
I decided I was going to take these chewable Flintstones chewable vitamins. You might fuck up the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a sudden sodium content or retention element or whatever. You can't deviate or else you're screwing him.
I have a feeling that's probably what happened in this scenario is that there was just some miscommunication. English is her second language.
Yes, yes.
And yes, I know she speaks English very, very well, but there's times where Fabrizio Verdum speaks English very, very well, and there's times just like, sorry, I don't know what it is in English.
Yeah.
So it could
It's called a front kick to that coach.
It's
a teep to Edmund.
So again, I just feel that when you look at the whole sport in general, why is there just one George Lockhart? He's the only guy that people are saying that follow his regimen if you want to make weight, if you want to be healthy and you want to have a great diet, this is your guy. Where are the other guys? Is he the only one? So everybody else is terrible?
He's the best guy. who...
But John Jones is the best guy, but when they talk about the pound for pound, they still talk about Demetrius Johnson, and they talk about Dominic Cruz.
Dolce is another guy. He has a different approach, and some of his is a little more witch doctory. Oh, don't worry, man, when you take this thing, it works. That's not necessarily wrong. It's just harder, whereas George's is so outlined. It's so spelled out using really traceable scientific principles. The truth is... there are millions of little variables that only somebody with that area level of expertise can really handle. But if somebody else, so Pat Cote is a nutritionist, and he handles a lot of his own nutrition, and he's probably, because we know how smart Patrick Cote is, he's probably very high. He's a brown belt in nutrition. George Lockhart is a black belt. He can go and copy some of George's stuff, much of which is public and much of which he will email to you, and he can go do it. There's a lot of things that are not proprietary, and ideas are not really the correct scientific approach is not proprietary. Mm-hmm. You can go study George's ideas. He's just the best guy. This is what he has specialized in, and specialized scientific knowledge is real. But other people do it. There are dozens and dozens of good nutritionists out there. Daniel Gallucci is a guy here in Toronto. I've worked with Daniel. Daniel's on a level. Claude Patrick's worked with him. I think Bocek has worked with him. This guy's a legit mind. There's lots of them. George is the one that some of the top guys, they feel 100% confidence in. Yeah. And when you feel 100% confidence or 99.9, when you can trust, he says, you can eat this chicken. You know you can eat that chicken. That is a powerful thing for an athlete.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I promise, we're going to talk about the card going down in Brazil on Saturday night. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ram Dean and Black with you. Nelson Gymnasium in Brazil will play host to UFC Fight Night, the main event. Christiane Cyborg Justino taking on the 6-1 Lena Landsberg. And I know at this point, many people believe that Landsberg is just a lamb being led to the slaughter. Because you just look at the highlights. I said 6-1 for Landsberg.
How many kickboxing fights?
Yeah, that's true. It's not kickboxing, though.
I know.
And that's the issue.
He's been exposed to being punched in the face a lot.
Same with Cyborg. Cyborg's also had grappling matches. She works with 9-time jiu-jitsu champion Gabby Garcia, who is enormous. So she's going to be good in every area. If she grabs a hold of Lena Landsberg, has she done her work in trying to prevent the takedown so she can keep the fight standing and showcase that Muay Thai?
You know, we just don't know enough about Landsberg. Like, there are other great athletes in every division. Now, Cyborg has really, really clean, efficient skills. We always think how big and strong she is, but the way that she turns her body when she strikes and the confidence, she just gets zeros in on you and goes and does it, that always feels unbeatable. There's another person in the world capable of dealing with that and taking you into a second round and changing some of the parameters of a fight.
Is that true at this point? Because there's one of the things you brought up in the past, and it's an interesting fact that, you know, just like how when no holds barred became mixed martial arts and everybody had to work on everything, you saw not everybody was at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's getting at the same level. More women are getting into the sport. They're not at the same level.
It's true.
Chris Cyborg seems that she is above most people's level, especially at 140 or 145 pounds. Do you think there's somebody out there that will have the experience, will have the coaching, will have the physical abilities, and everything that Cyborg has, all of her accolades and attributes that will match her inside of the cage?
Yeah, that's a good question. My initial response is, the world's a huge place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, but you're right, there's a lot less women, so the gene pool of fighters is way smaller. If you find me a really fast guy, I'll say, you know, there's how many billion people in the world? There could be someone who can run faster than that guy. And if you find somebody who can jump really high or you learn a sport, you know, a pitcher, how fast? Ah, man, the world's a big place. Mm-hmm. There's somebody out there. But the math starts getting harder as you have more complex things you're comparing. So if you jump high, I can find a guy who can jump as high. But now we need you to jump high and run fast and throw a javelin and have access to that level of coaching since you were 8 years old. Starts getting harder and harder. You start getting go from 5 billion. How many people in the world? 6 billion?
I think it's 9 billion.
Jesus, that's a lot.
Isn't that what it is?
Sure. Chase doesn't know. let's say 9 billion. There are 9 billion people. Well, now we need ones that kickbox. Okay. That's only 20 million people. And then we need women that kickbox. It's 6 million people. Then we need women of approximately
7 million people. 7 billion.
7 billion people. Okay, 7. Now we've only got 40 million kickboxers, and we've only got 8 million women kickboxers. Then we've only got 1 million women that have ever kickboxed away about this size.
And who have how many of them have a purple belt in jiu-jitsu at least?
Then we've only got 1,000. And then how many of them even had access to training at a young enough age to acquire the skill? All of a sudden, you're not.
You got the 7. You're like
and it's all going
prospect,
through.
And it's all going through.
It's
and
true.
Cyborg
it's
is
true.
The one that ends up there at the bottom.
It's true. Now, if you take a lot of other sports that have been around for 100 years, there's way more.
Yes.
Way more that
because
do it
history.
From young. And history. Yeah. And in school, when's the first time you kicked a soccer ball? You're like five,
four. Yeah. And that's also because of culture. Like here, in Canada, most people were playing hockey in small towns. It's only because my dad came from an island that I was playing soccer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's part of his culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody else is playing hockey. So,
So you get that large pool. Why are there more Canadian hockey players in the NHL than, you know, Polish? Because more Canadian kids play hockey. So how many young ladies kickboxed or did jiu-jitsu at an age that they had enough years to get this good? When we talk about a CM Punk and why he is not very good of a fighter yet, there's not enough time. You don't have enough time. Yeah. You can't. It takes 10 years to become a great fighter. So Cyborg had those 10 years. Now we need women of approximately the same size who started training 10 or 12 years ago. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But we find a real 145-pounder who really kickboxed for a long time, had 40 or 50 kickboxing matches. We have somebody of the right weight. We have somebody who can do the right skills, has some experience in it. We have a fight. Do we have somebody capable of beating her? We don't have any insight into her, who she is, and how long she's been doing it, and any insight into how she performs. Does she show how she deals with stress or fear or pressure? Big thing about Cyborg is you look, she's coming for me. So we don't have any of that insight. Somebody, is there someone in the world now? And some people have a bad night. And again, we're not making excuses. I don't know enough about Landsberg to know. I'm not trying to convince anybody this is a winnable fight because I don't have enough information. But when you look at it, so let's say she's not good enough to beat her.
Right.
Then now we
need... Landsberg's not good enough to beat Cyborg.
Not quite good enough or strong. It doesn't quite have the attributes to do it. Now if Cyborg has a bad night, does it happen?
Yeah.
Because people lose. I don't
care
who you are. Everybody eventually loses except for Mayweather, and he's still in play to lose one day. So if you aren't good enough, but tonight they underperform... I mean, I think Bisping can beat Rockhold on a lot of nights.
Yeah.
Rockhold thinks it was only because he underperformed to the level Bisping was capable of. People lose.
We're going to take another break. Cyborg's already lost 16-1. She's not going to do it again, I think.
One day.
And maybe one day. We're going to take another time out. When we come back, we're talking more about the fight card going down in Brazil. Welcome back to Five Rounds, the UFC going down in Brazil this Saturday night. Chris Cyborg, Lena Landsberg, the main event. Have you had a chance to really look at this card? Because
not really.
You know, last weekend it was Michael Johnson and Dustin Poirier. Next weekend it's Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson.
No, next weekend is two 135ers. Lineker.
Oh, yeah, Lineker and John Dodson.
It's
hard
to keep them all
and then
juggling.
You got Michael Bisping, and we got, you know, now we know the welterweight title, Tyron Woodley, and Wonder Boy's going down.
You know why it's actually hard? So people might look and go, this is all you guys do. So
yeah,
that's not true. Early in the week, how haven't you looked at this? Like, well, we also got to plan ahead what we're working on for 3 weeks from now. So your which one of your specials are you working on now?
Bisping.
Yeah, so that is 2 weeks in the future. You're gathering and studying the history and the fights of Bisping and Dan, and that'll be a priority job for you this week. Now,
and then we got a voice pancreas too.
We got a voice pancreas right after this, which will be awesome. And we're definitely not complaining. This
not
is
at
the
all.
greatest job in the whole world. Yeah. I'm going on vacation tomorrow, and I kind of will like. I'm excited.
You'd be bummed out.
But I'm a little bummed out because my wife won't let me be immersed in fighting all day, every day, even though I'm in Vegas. But so you've got to go and be planning and building that and pancreas and so on and so forth. And then.
And Shooter Brazil and TKO 36.
We're doing TKO in Montreal.
And working with this amateur promotion, Ace. So
the main job for this one will be our previewing of it, which is going to happen within a couple of days. So right now, we've got to go back in and go, you've been studying, and there's macro and micro, big, small, all these different things. It's like you got to get. I just did a breakdown for Bisping and Henderson. That is deep dive for like 8 or 9 days. But then we're also, I also had to make keys to victory for this one. That was not easy. What's the keys to victory for beating Cyborg? You know, and then now, in the next couple of days, we'll go in and we'll do the preview show. So right now is when we're really digging into this card.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why we have to dig into this card, if you're in Canada, we're carrying the prelims live, and it is arguably one of the best prelim showcases that we've ever had. And you have Gilbert Burns taking on Mike Saris, Tanaka taking on Ronnie Yaya, an incredible...
I thought it was Ronnie Yaya.
Yeah, well, it's actually Ronnie. apparently, he wants to be called Ronnie. Then a pivotal 125-pound fight, Formiga taking on Dustin Ortiz, and then Eric Silva taking on the 14-1-1 Luan Chagas. So just a slew of great fights. And then on top of that, we said that Cyborg is the main eventer. Henan Barão taking on a very strange opponent in Philip Nover. We know Philip Nover is going to come to fight hard. He's
an
intelligent
guy. What's his last few fights?
Remember, we were in Vegas. Yeah. We saw him. I think he lost that fight in Vegas. Split decision?
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is a rare situation.
Yeah.
Now, they're both coming off losses, which is often the case. And Nover had a number of wins before that, a few of which were in the UFC.
For one, in his return to the UFC, he defeated Yui Chul Nam by split decision.
Mm-hmm. So, and at this stage, this is a rare thing. They don't do this very often. They don't go out and specifically say, hey, let's get a softer ball. But, I mean, how many losses in a row for Barão? Lost to TJ, then lost again to TJ, then he beat Mitch, and then he lost to Stevens. I mean, this is
lost to TJ again, and then lost to Jeremy Stevens.
So three of his last four. This is a guy who was undefeated for 10 years or whatever. He was a champion. So it's like we need to find out where you're at now at 45. So we're going to go way deeper down in the pile. Nover is low bottom half of the pile, and that's no disrespect. That's just
a reality.
And you got to go in there, and you got to start from here. This is where you start.
And this is an opportunity for Philip Nover.
100%.
Huge opportunity. If you have a Barão that's mentally shaken, not as confident, you're going into enemy territory anyways. You're not the guy people are banking on to win.
Exactly.
So go out, have the best fight of your night, and get to celebrate, and now you're a part of the conversation.
And you do not rule out that possibility if you're somebody looking at this fight because, you know, Barão, who knows where he is in his own head? Once you're at a point, you know, now it's like, well, I got to do this.
They're calling me the pound-for-pound best. And
different pressures, new pressures, you know. So you don't know. You don't know this. And I think better to go and really find out because now we drop down to the top 12 or 15 and he loses. Well, now we got to – screw it. Let's go a little lower in the apparent structure of where, and again, it's not rankings. It's not a bunch of media decided to put numbers beside. Just in that pack that Sean Shelby is really able to assess. It's like the top 20 or 30 guys in his feeling. These guys down here, Nover's down there. Let's just go there and see where we're at. Give this guy a full reset. And if he loses to Philip Nover, then you have to sit there and go, maybe the TJ Dillashaw fights you know, brought him down, and maybe he has to think different about his career. So, but that's it's interesting.
I'll tell you why I find it interesting is that it almost feels like you're doing Barão a favor by doing this, because you look at the next fight underneath the co-main event, you have Roy Nelson fighting Bigfoot Silva.
Who are you doing a favor for there?
I mean, it feels like maybe Roy Nelson, because Bigfoot Silva has taken a lot of damage.
But he wants to be in there.
He does want to be in there, but he also has a family to support. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I could leave and I can go and be an instructor, make 50, I'm just using this as an example, 50 grand a year. I'm used to getting paid $300,000 a fight in the UFC.
Is that what Bigfoot makes?
Or he makes a lot of money.
Yeah, he came over from Strikeforce, too. Well, Roy does get hit a lot.
Yep.
And Roy's answer to getting hit a lot is,
hit you
I
back.
Can take it.
Yeah.
I can take it. That's his concept of defense. Is like, he's not so much going to defend the shots from getting to his brain. He's going to, or from getting to his head. He's just confident that his head has the ability to protect his brain. Which is not a good long-term thinking, but so he gets hit a lot. Bigfoot can hit him, mm-hmm. and one of these guys' fight isn't 15 minutes, probably. And you remember, didn't Bigfoot go 25 minutes with Mark Hunt? Has he ever really been the same since that?
Also have to remember the landscape has changed. Yeah. So in addition to taking that ridiculous amount of punishment for half an hour, imagine Mark Hunt punching you in the body and head as you're watching a 30-minute show. Oh my
God. I don't like the thought of that. Like, most people, that's a really good way, like, just to ask people to really think about that.
Yeah.
Now, if you imagine getting hit, it's like, oh man, you don't like the imagination of that. And now you imagine somebody hitting you like two or three or four times, backing you up in your house, and you're protecting yourself wherever you're sitting right now, and you're feeling some of them get through and you can't breathe. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's about 25 seconds. So that plus half an hour now. Like, add 24 and a half minutes on top. 24 and a half minutes.
I know.
Like, try to get on a treadmill for 25 minutes with a backpack on, weighing the amount of Bigfoot's elbow.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be
and
on you.
And somebody's hitting you
with
the back.
And somebody's smashing you the whole time. Like, I know we go down this road often, but it's one of those things that it matters to me, and it matters to you, and it matters to a lot of people. It's like, when people look at a fight, sometimes they go, oh, that wasn't a good fight. It's like every fight is special for the reason of what they're going through. You don't have to care, but that doesn't mean it isn't actually something very special. And there's sacrifice being made, not only in that moment, but in the weeks of abuse to their body and the things that they gave up. Again, you don't have to care, but that doesn't make it not true.
Sure.
You know? But just really sit there, you know, like after and picture, set a timer for 25 minutes.
You should count out how many strikes Mark Hunt landed in those 25 minutes, and then just space them out over 25 minutes. Get your buddy to hit you as hard as humanly possible.
Just punch you in the thigh. So it's 214 shots or whatever. Get him to hit you really hard.
Every 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then add about... You know,
not every 2 minutes.
Every 20 seconds. And at about... four of them. If you're particularly tough, six. If you're like some inhuman guy, nine. Yeah. You're going to go, look, just stop doing that. Like, I can't walk now. And there's all kinds of other things that happen internally when you take trauma. And that's something I'm researching and studying a little bit now. It's not normal to take physical abuse. It isn't just, oh, that hurt my arm. Oh, my head is ringing. Oh, my leg hurts. There's all kinds of internal damage.
Stuff going on. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this heavyweight tilt as well as some of the sensational fights going down in Brazil on Saturday. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ramdeen and Black with you, chatting about UFC Fight Night in Brazil on Saturday. I want to still focus on this heavyweight tilt between Bigfoot Silva and Roy Nelson. Before the break, we're talking about the amount of damage, punishment, rattling of the brain that Bigfoot Silva has had throughout his career, but specifically we're talking about that fight with Mark Hunt where he went 25 full minutes. But if you look at Bigfoot's career, I'm just going to go back to the last fight he had in Strikeforce, which was against Daniel Cormier. Since then, and up into his last fight with Stefan Struve, he has a record of 3 wins, 7 losses, and 1 draw. Those losses, Daniel Cormier by knockout, Cain Velasquez by knockout, Velasquez by knockout, Andrei Arlovski by knockout, Frank Mir by knockout, Mark Hunt by knockout, Stefan Struve by knockout.
He's been knocked out seven
every
times.
One of those times he's been knocked out. And his wins, Travis Brown and Alistair Overeem, which he knocked out Alistair Overeem in the third round, so he took a bunch of punches in that fight as well.
Well, I strongly always feel that personal freedom is...
But there's not always personal freedom, because when you're obligated, it's like, I don't want to fight.
Yeah, but that's... You still have choices. We're going to move into a tiny house. We'll move in with my grandparents. We'll
now you're
do
letting
other
people
things.
Down.
Yeah, but that's still on... You still can do that. When a doctor says you can't fight... I once got into a argument with Kevin Ioli, who does some great writing, like of the tomato can journalists out there. He's less tomato canny than many. And he's a smart guy. But we got into a real heated argument one time because he was like, you don't understand. Look at these examples of these fighters. And I'm like, we live in a free society. He's like, they need to be told. Don't tell anybody. Now, if a doctor says you are medically unfit to fight, well, That's a line that I think we have to accept, because that's the structure that's been built and that's how it is. But we live in a free society. And I'm serious. If we are concerned with people's health, we shouldn't be choosing 8 guys to say you shouldn't fight anymore. We should be outlawing sugar and salt.
Yeah.
We should be outlawing certain kinds of fat. I mean, that will kill hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
But we live in a free society. You can eat as much salt as you want. You can eat as many cakes as you want to eat. And I know this is different, but it is at the fundamental choice of you as a human being living the life that you want to live in a free society. This guy can go do that. Now, if you choose you don't want to watch it, you will not choose to, that's your freedom. You want to actively, but he and I literally got in a heated argument, and we couldn't understand what each other was saying. And I get that. And that's the way, I think, to get better at debate as you get older and as you start to study yourself is I couldn't understand how he couldn't get what I was saying. This is his life.
Yeah.
And he couldn't understand that how I couldn't get what he was saying. He's like, this guy will give himself brain damage. Mm-hmm. This guy is harming himself. Look at these examples
and
of other
and
guys.
And again, I can kind of understand what he's saying, because some of these guys are so tough. And as I say, the money is there. It's like, okay, yeah, I can, as you said, you can move into a smaller house. You can get an apartment. You can get rid of the Mercedes. But the fact is, we live in a society where consumerism is king.
Yeah.
And you have these obligations because your kid's saying they want laptops, and your wife wants to be driving a Mercedes, and you want to be on the golf course. All those things cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I'm willing. Because Wanderlei Silva told you,
say,
I know there's a price to pay.
Yeah.
The price to pay is I'm losing brain cells at a rapid rate.
It was a really great chat we had with Wanderlei. I don't know where we'll find it. If we do find it, we'll try to attach it to this online at least. But yeah, he was like, I understand there is a price to pay, but I love this.
Yeah.
And we're free people. And again, it's like, I don't know why we would cherry pick this one person to protect from themselves.
Right.
We don't make it illegal or force people not to eat foods or take medications or all of these incredibly damaging things, or to give up exercise, or to, you know, diabetes will kill a lot more people than choice of competition. However, I think you need to educate them before they fight, and I'm very in favor of that. Put all the research out there, because I would love to fight again. And I know I have memory issues. I've got physical damage to my body. I'd love to, because I loved doing it. And if I was better at fighting, and it was something it was my thing. It was the way I expressed myself. It was what I was put on earth to do. As much as I love it, I'm not. This is what I do. I'm not a very good fighter. But I love it. But if that was the thing that I was put on earth to do, and all these people, oh, he needs to be saved from himself. I mean, why? We're free.
Yeah, it's true. You know? But at the same time, when you look at however many fights that is, 12 or 13 fights, I think the difference would be split decision loss, decision loss, one KO loss, majority decision loss. But every one of those is a stoppage, a stoppage by knockout. So you can understand where some it's like, well, he's not making the best judgment.
I get that. Now, if you're friends and family, somebody close, somebody whose opinion really matters, that person, try to influence them if that's important to you.
But
try
the fans and the writers that have no affiliation to you. Yeah,
they have no bearing on it. And there's a lot of ways that people, I mean, working in certain mines is going to kill you. There are certain types of jobs that you do.
Think about that.
Yeah.
We're going to finish that thought when we come back, working in mines on Five Rounds today. Welcome back to Five Rounds today. Before the break, you're talking about mines, and because of this whole Bigfoot Silva thing, because of how many stoppage losses he's had over the last dozen fights, Kevin Ioli wrote a thing about a specific fighter. Should a guy be fighting when he has had so many losses, especially the way that they happened?
Yeah, I respect his opinion and his strong feelings on that, and I really do. And it's cool that people have these conversations, and it's cool that you care. I think the people that can, I think we're free to make the decisions. Doctor can say we're not going to let you fight because we have medically assessed you. If a doctor medically assesses this man and says, I know this is the thing you'll have to do, I'd advise against it, but we look at the evidence to your brain, etc., go do it. I think family should go if it's something that matters to them. Try to influence them with people that matter. I think the UFC themselves, Chuck, you're not fighting anymore. Now, but with Lieben, they were like, we don't want to be involved in you fighting anymore. But since you're so adamant about it, it is your life. Here, you're free to go do what you want to do. But I understand it. I understand. And that's the thing, you know, whatever you're debating, try to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
What was the mind thing you were talking about?
You go mine. You work in certain mines. You know in 20 years you're going to get lung cancer.
Yeah.
You work in certain other jobs. You know you're going to be breathing chemicals. You know certain things. Being a hairdresser for 30 years will destroy that shoulder.
Right.
You know, we all do it. And we have the right to do it. You fight for the right to have freedom. We don't tell people what to eat, what to do. And food kills them, you know? So, but I get it. If you care about a fighter and you think that they shouldn't be doing it, I understand the debate. But, I think let Bigfoot fight until somebody says he can't fight.
A ton of action going down in Brazil this weekend. The main event, Chris Cyborg taking on Lee Landsberg, Henan Barão, Philip Nover, Roy Nelson, Bigfoot Silva. A sensational matchup between Francisco Trinaldo, who's on a roll, Evolucio Tai, you guys are looking fantastic, taking on Paul Felder, Thiago Santos, Gianfranco Pepe on the card, Gil Burns. Man, oh man, just a ton of great fights from start to finish. That's it for us. Another show in the books. On behalf of Robin Black, our producer Chase Kaiser, I'm John Ramdeen. We'll see you guys next time on Five Rounds Today.